But a lot of this just comes across as like, well, that's icky, and I don't like my kids that much. My kids took away my freedom, and I kind of low-key resent them, so I don't want to really do much as like a parent, so I'm going to have the government do it instead.
Yeah.
What the fuck is fart yoga, and why is that okay? That sounds really fucking weird.
I'm just trying to think of how that works.
Everyone's just gonna be confused.
Hello and welcome to the Weave Crew. I'm your host Psyotic, because as always I'm joined by my co-host Moomy.
Don't worry, I'm also confused as fuck.
Yeah, we've been talking like about toys for I don't know the last 30 minutes. At our guest today, for the second time you've been on the podcast, Flex.
Yes.
Yeah, no, which is funny.
You've been on stream like one or two. Was it two times?
Maybe.
I think. I don't remember.
I know we came on with Joe. I think he came on two times. Yeah, so we had you on stream, but you've not been on the podcast more than that one time, like almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, we didn't even really talk about anything. We just kind of vaguely talked about YouTube and anime.
Boys for Littles. I don't like that phrase.
Why are you still looking at this fucking pamphlet? No one's gonna know what this is.
No one's gonna know this random magazine.
We've been literally just going through toy magazines and being horrified and confused.
Oh, hey, Care Bear.
Well, it all ties together. You know, collectibles, streams getting worse. Stream site. My fucking brother has been getting into anime. This is me expanding on the chronicle of the lore. So he keeps talking about like shows. He's like, yeah, I tried watching a show dubbed and it just does not have a dub available on the streaming site. I'm just like, why are you streaming legally? Do you know what that dub is? Do you know what show he was talking about?
Was it Taco P?
No, it was Steins Gate.
Oh, yeah.
How does a streaming site not have Steins Gate dubbed available?
What was he trying to watch it on?
I don't remember. You know? Hulu or Netflix? Or I don't know.
On Pubi.
I think Hulu is the one of the weird ones where they don't have like separate audio tracks just on like the same video file. Like if you want a dub or sub, it is literally like a separate like entry in their catalog. As opposed to like Netflix, where you can just go in and just change like the audio track to a different language.
I don't know. I'm just like, why? Who cares? Just fucking pirate it.
Yeah. Did you go and teach him how?
No.
Oh,
the boy will have to learn.
You figure it out yourself, dumbass. I'm not gonna fucking show you.
I fucking gave him a link to I can't remember. It's like a Russian anime streaming site. But it's good. This is an RU address. But it is good. It is a good streaming site, like a legal streaming site. That was illegal.
What is the Nuremberg Toy Fair? come see Nuremberg. We're hanging Nazis, and we got a nice toy fair.
It really is hard to advertise anything else in that city.
Anything in Nuremberg, or it's like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's like, I'm just like thinking of like horrible things there.
The Hague.
Nuremberg Toy Fair. You know, hang on that T a little bit. No, we're supposed to be talking. Are we supposed to talk about like payment processing or something? Why are we?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at this fucking baby on a fucking crawling gator?
I don't know. This fucking baby is like, wait, what is this? The Crawligator, a mobility toy to encourage your baby's milestones. No, I'm not giving my fucking like developing infant a thing to make it easier for them to crawl. They can fucking figure it out themselves, and if they can't, they're defective, and I'm taking them back to the factory.
I don't know, it kind of looks like a Tron bike. Like, I'm just imagining the baby riding around on like a little motorcycle.
The baby, you're doing like the Akira
drifting around the corner in your kitchen.
You know, there's some dad that's like put sunglasses on their baby and just like recorded them riding around in that.
Oh, that's fucking terrifying. The Santaverse.
Elf under the Santaverse. Please, please close this. Why are we still looking at? No one can see this.
No, do they really want to fucking see this, though?
No, no one wants to see this, including the people on this call. We're supposed to be talking about a subject.
The worst tangent.
Listen. The payment processors are like, they're trying to protect the kids, okay? And they don't want to protect them from like violent video games and stuff. So instead, we need to give them like weird toys and slime and things that, I'm going to be honest. There, I said it.
I don't know if you can say. I think it makes us liable for something. You should probably. I think it's called slander. To like just
slander or something.
Throw around.
I'll note down the time, so I'll bleep that out. There you go. 3 minutes. But Lex, you recently put out a video, talking about payment processors. More or less, like. It's weird because it's two things kind of happened at once. Payment processors are basically now, I mean, they've been censoring like digital platforms, and now it's hit Steam and itch.io. And then also on top of that, you have the United Kingdom government also just censoring seemingly the entire internet up to and potentially including Wikipedia even. So...
yeah. Well, and it's weird, too, because both of them are pretty much completely separate incidents that just happened to happen like within a week of each other. So it just became the craziest week for censorship of all time. And the entire time, like it started back in on the 15th of July is when people found out that Steam had like deleted a bunch of games and had put out. They had added a new guideline for their rules that added all you can't piss off our payment processors, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a specific guideline. It just was we now comply with rules set by our payment processors, and what those rules are. Ask them. It's up to them.
Yeah, it was very vague. And then that happened, and that's when I started making the video, because I was like, oh, this seems interesting. And I started looking into all of it, finding connections. And then over the course of the week, stuff just kept happening. Even in the video, there's like points where I had to edit in like editor's notes, like this happened since I've talked about this. But then...
oh, yeah, like the itch.io part.
Yeah, itch.io went down while I was making it, which was like related, so I knew I had to bring it up. And then as all of that's happening, I put out the video, and the same day the UK puts in their new rules basically saying that kids can't access the internet anymore. Like a bunch of stuff happened at once, though it was all pretty much disconnected or like very... like the Online Safety Act, the UK thing, I think is like from 2023, like just recently was amended or went into effect or like finalized or whatever. So like all this has been boiling for a while. It just made for a very bad news week for someone who takes long to make videos like I do.
Well, then on top of that, there was also, because with the UK thing, it's like you need to like submit like a scan of your face or something, and also like a government ID. And then on the same day, like some app called T, which I guess is like an app where women can like gossip about shit on there, didn't even get hacked. That information was just publicly available, completely unencrypted, where it's like all these women's like faces and like personal information, government IDs and stuff. That also just got like leaked online as well.
Oh, that was like intentional. That's like, 100%. That was like made to do that.
It's very possible, because it evidently was just completely unencrypted. So it's like, okay, how can I trust these other websites that they're also not going to horribly fuck this up?
You don't.
Or like, yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, everyone is like, oh, what, you want like kids to be able to access porn and stuff? And it's like, that's not what this is about at the end of the day. It's more so like, this is going to be a broad censorship measure for everything. Like, hypothetically, under these guidelines from these payment processors, what would stop a platform, like a digital platform like Amazon, from being allowed to sell like contraceptives or things about sexual health or anything deemed inappropriate by these payment processors that are being more or less ordered around, it seems like, by these conservative quote-unquote feminist groups that are basically just sex negative and completely like pro abstinence, no sex ever unless you're married and it's only for procreation.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the payment processor thing first, because it's like they are two separate, they have two separate histories. But the payment processor thing is, I mean, I put out the video that covers the history, but the basic gist is that a bunch of, I just call them anti-pornography groups, because there's a bunch of other things that they stand for and advertise as like their mission statement. But really the one thing is that they've just always been against porn. And back when they started, a lot of them started in the 60s, they were like obscenity law groups trying to pass obscenity laws in the US and make it so that like anything they deemed inappropriate would just not even be available. But they evolved and eventually became focused more on just pornography, not wanting pornography to exist, trying to just abolish it entirely. And a lot of these groups branded themselves then as like anti-sex trafficking groups, which they would happen to lump in all pornography is somehow related to sex trafficking and thus should be abolished. And then
pornography, real or fictional,
real or fictional, or yeah, of any kind. And they also include, you know, any movies with like graphic sex or even just like intimacy of any kind.
I mean, literally obscenity laws in the US have their origin point in, I forget what the exact name of the law is, but it's still in the books, and it was more or less put into effect to make it illegal to like mail any like information about abortion or contraception or anything like that, like across state lines. It essentially criminalized that. So it's kind of just always been about controlling sexual health and sexuality, usually targeted at women primarily.
Yeah, I mean, so the main group that I talk about as kind of the start of it is one that was called Morality in Media. And them and some of the other groups, they are basically like a collection of pastors and people in like prayer groups for like certain religions who would just gather together and basically just try to enforce their viewpoint on the world through lobbying and activism and whatnot. And their viewpoints are, if you actually look into any of these groups, a lot of them are insane, because it's their anti-pornography stance is obviously just broadly, I don't agree with, but a lot of people now have sort of become like sex negative and oh, you're just a gooner or a coomer or whatever. But then you look into these groups and it's like, no, they've like, some of their founders have openly said that like homosexuality is a sin and like has a connection to mass murder, and that like abortion, one of them compared abortion to the Holocaust. It's like, oh, these are, one, obviously, if they try to enforce, you know, the abolishment of pornography, they're going to try to enforce all of these things. And all of these things are insane. They have such insane viewpoints on like so many different, you know, just facets of like, sexual culture.
It's literally just a way to for them to get like their foot in the door, basically, and then dictate all of their other policies that they want through just being like, oh, well, this is like related to pornography or sex trafficking. Like, kids are gay now because of porn, I guess.
Yeah, which does relate then to the UK law, because like pretty much for all of these, for every group that is against pornography or against like just anything sexual on the internet, a lot of them, typically the way that it works is that they'll, they'll try and advertise like, oh, we hate porn, or we hate, I don't know, gay people sometimes, a lot of these groups will say, and then they'll get backlash. Yeah. People go, what? That's, you're insane. So they go, oh, okay. Yeah. So not porn. We're against child pornography and sex trafficking. And then everyone goes, oh, that's more reasonable. I'm against those things, too. And they go, let's abolish sex trafficking by abolishing porn. And it's like, oh, OK. Like,
oh, what?
So they kind of co-opt you into believing like, oh, these are like, they just want to like end sex trafficking and all of these horrible sex crimes, when really that's just them trying to build momentum to do what they actually want to do, which is all porn is illegal, abstinence only.
And then people will then like clap back and be like, what, do you want kids watching porn? And it's like, no, but that should just be up to like the parents of kids to have kids, I don't know, grow up to have like a healthy relationship with pornography and sex and sexuality. It's like, if some parents don't want their kids looking at porn, so be it. If some parents are more comfortable with it, that's their prerogative as parents.
Well, and even if you criminalize, like, let's say there's a law that's just, I mean, I assume this is the case in many places. I don't know the UK specific, yeah. But even if there's a law against a kid watching pornography, that's a law. If the kid accesses it and the government finds out or someone finds out, that kid gets in trouble, like the parents might get in trouble. But like, yeah, the law is then not just like ban it from the internet entirely. Like the government has a control over the kid even doing it. It's like, if you've already enacted the law, then that's the law. There's no, again, it's up to the individual responsibility of the people who would, yeah, you know, control what that kid's watching, if they're their parents or the kid themselves. It's like, we don't just broadly censor the internet in order to enforce these things.
It's basically just an abstinence policy applied to pornography. Cause it's like, I mean, the uncomfortable thing that no one wants to say is, shockingly, even though everyone fucking listening to this podcast knows it, people under the age of 18 do masturbate. It's part of like sexual development. And yeah, it's fucking weird to talk about, but it is a thing. So it's just like, how, like, are we just going to be like, no, don't fucking touch yourself, you'll get hairy palms? Are we going back to the 50s? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then it's always just gonna be a matter of like, don't have sex ever, don't fucking pleasure yourself or whatever the fuck ever. It's just don't sex doesn't exist, actually. I can say that because, you know, have I ever had sex? I have an experience, therefore it doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, and the laws around it are also, even just criminalizing anything like sexual, I think in the UK, I know this was the case, it might still be the case, where like the age of consent is higher if you want to have anal sex, which just seems like a broad, like, anti-gay law.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, but it's considered obscene. I know this was the case in the UK. I think Canada also had or has it. Where like they treat anal sex specifically differently because it is obscene to them, which is, again, just like, oh, you can have sex, yeah, as long as you're straight, basically.
Like sodomy laws. Yeah.
It's very, and that is just entirely rooted in like religious conservatism, you know, sodomy is a sin type thing.
Right.
Where there's, well, no reason to even, like, do that.
Well, and that's the thing with like these policies on Steam and stuff as well, is it's not even like, oh, you need to be 18 in order to access this content. It's, no one should be allowed to access this at all, point blank, period.
Yeah.
And it's like, why not? Like, and the argument is always like this like facilitates like violence against women, sex trafficking, sexual violence against children and stuff. Now, whether or not that's actually true in any capacity, doesn't matter, because the way that they've more or less framed their entire argument is, then if you oppose them, it's like, what, do you like kids getting raped? And it's like, that's not, no.
Yeah, it's always a sliding scale.
They put you on the back foot. Yeah.
And it's, you essentially, because they want, their end goal is, yeah, all pornography is banned. So they then have to keep backing up further and further until they can say, oh, yeah, you don't like child porn, do you? And then no one disagrees with them. And then they can further their agenda.
And it's always like, you know, give an inch, they'll take a mile kind of thing, where it's like, we don't want kids being able to access this material for you know, because it's like, it could lead to child sex trafficking or children being groomed, including being groomed into being gay. So we should probably also get rid of anything that it depicts homosexuality in any capacity, because then that could also be used to confuse the child regarding what God is deemed morally. And it's just kind of like, it builds up more and more and more and more.
Yeah, well, and there's a broad issue where the way that homosexuality is viewed a lot of the time is that it's inherently sexual to talk about, which is part of a lot of the plan here, is that, you watch a movie and someone talks about like, oh, I love my girlfriend or whatever. I'm going to go, you know, we're going to go hit the hay. And that's like existed since like the 50s is just like, oh, yeah, it's just like a straight couple, you know, doing stuff. But as soon as you add, I don't know, a gay character who's like, yeah, me and my boyfriend are going to go off to bed or whatever. People look at that as explicitly sexual in a way that the heterosexual version wasn't. And thus it is then banned under this broad no sex policy because we look at heterosexuality as the default. So like talking about it and talking about like sex education and things like these have largely been covered just under like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's just procreation. This is just how humans work. But then it's like, oh, you want to talk about anal sex? That's obscene. How dare you? That's like you're a dirty pervert. Even though, again, it for a lot of people just is sexual education. There's no.
Right.
There's no real difference.
It's what's like the law in Russia where it's like even like illegal to explain the concept of being gay to a child, basically.
Yeah. Well, in the way that sex ed, I think has been policed in the U.S., I think a lot of places have sort of, if not explicitly, definitely implicitly made the law that like you can teach sex ed as long as it's like, you know, the type of sex ed that leads to a kid. No other kind of sex ed is really appropriate.
And then it also just goes back to like violence in video games, violent video games. Because what are the specific things that are technically now not allowed on like Steam or itch.io or like, I mean, seemingly any platform where it's like. The games I think that have been taken down so far are all like. Involve incest or rape or things that I think everyone can agree in real life are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a video game. But then it's like, where does that line get drawn? Because what were they like? They want to ban Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
For what was the reason?
So to give you, I'll just briefly give the timeline here for anyone who hasn't seen the video. Basically, these anti-porn groups existed. They've existed for a long time, and they rebranded themselves around like 2015 to be anti-sex trafficking groups who then still broadly wanted to delete pornography, but under the banner of sex trafficking. So in the U.S. specifically, in 2018, they passed the Sestafosta law, which says that before 2018, all the way back to 1996, websites had broad immunity from prosecution for if someone on a website does something illegal, you cannot prosecute the website for it unless the website was like directly involved with doing it. If I just post hate speech on Twitter, you know, Twitter cannot be held liable even if I'm doing something illegal on their website.
Unless you could prove that like Elon Musk was getting kickbacks.
Or like Elon Musk himself was directly posting it. Basically what the law was. And they... With Sestafosta, these anti-porn groups managed to essentially repeal that law or that the protection for websites specifically for anything that was facilitating, supporting, or like broadly helping sex trafficking. So if a website even is not hosting or like being like if, you know, Pornhub was the big one that got taken down. Where it's not that Pornhub was like committing sex trafficking. It's a website. Like the CEOs were not literally like trafficking women or anything. But the fact that they could make money off of someone uploading a video of sex trafficking or someone being sex trafficked, that is then facilitating and supporting it so Pornhub can be taken down and they can be sued with that without that protection anymore. So they got this law passed. And then the law itself is very vague. Sestafosta initially did not even require that websites were – that they had knowledge that the sex trafficking was occurring. So even if you uploaded like child pornography on Twitter and Twitter has automated systems to delete it, but I skirt around them, Twitter can be held responsible even if they had no idea that that video existed, which is insane. Because like
– That goes back to the classic 4chan practice of – mods are asleep. Post syncs.
Yeah. So then eventually they did amend it that you had to knowingly participate or facilitate. But again, you can just broadly argue in court that they knew.
Yeah.
It's entirely vague and up to the individual decision. So it's not really a protection still. But then also because of that, you can sue because the it just says facilitating or supporting sex trafficking. You can sue anyone involved with these companies, including Visa, just for the fact that they facilitate their payments, which is sort of what started this all, is that Visa got included in a lawsuit against Pornhub for this facilitating sex trafficking thing. And then that's what started this sort of downhill slope where Visa and MasterCard, at least according to like what I believe from the research that I did, they've essentially got scared of possible lawsuits and started to crack down and implement stricter rules on websites. The Sestafosta law, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically the reason that like Tumblr deleted porn, Reddit started like banning porn a lot of the time. Like any website that around 2018 just stopped allowing people to make or like produce not safe for work content, it's because of Sestafosta, because they were all just afraid of being sued over it, essentially, because there's no so vague that no website could really properly moderate against it. Because again, if even if they don't know, they could have still been sued. So specifically Visa and MasterCard are the ones who are sort of afraid of a lawsuit. And in around 2021, MasterCard added new rules for anyone that they facilitate payments for. And in 2023, I think, is when Visa basically updated with the same rules. And the interesting thing about these rules is that they are like obviously Visa and MasterCard have a rule that just says we cannot facilitate payments for if you do something illegal. Like that's just part of their policy since these companies existed, obviously. And that was broadly the other thing I should note is that that protection for websites against being sued does not apply to federal crimes. If a website commits a federal crime, they have no protection, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right. It was just against civil lawsuits against them. But again, America and a lot of these places being, you know, the land of the lawsuit, you can just sue anyone for anything a lot of the time if they don't have protection against it. But so Visa and MasterCard applied new rules, and those new rules are where things get interesting because they're not against things that are illegal because they already had laws that just or they already had rules that just say don't do illegal things that you're, you know, that we're facilitating payments for. So now their new rules have to essentially broadly ban pornographic material and ban things that are like obscene that are, again, fully legal to do and sell and produce as long as it's not like real people getting hurt, but are just considered bad enough that they think that they could get sued over them. So they enforce this on a lot of websites, most recently Steam and Itch.io, where Steam being the bigger company essentially just tanked it and just said like, oh, yeah, we're just going to add one single guideline that says like you have to abide by payment processors. But Itch.io got it worse because they essentially probably just got a call from Visa that said, hey, we're going to drop payments on your platform and basically kill your company unless you like deal with it right now. So they had to like take all of their games, make them all unlisted, go through and manually delete all of the ones that didn't comply and then put them back up, which they're still doing now.
I think. In their publics, like I got the sense that Itch.io was not exactly happy about this because in their public statement, they do just outright name Collective Shout as kind of being the root of why this is happening. And they're like, blame them. These are the people you want to go after.
Yeah. So that was the initial thing that drew me to it was on the 15th of July, Steam, a bunch of their games got taken down. And then this random Australian group called Collective Shout was like, we're the ones responsible. We sent an open letter to the payment processors behind Steam and Itch.io, and this is a direct result. Like, we've succeeded with this open letter, which obviously drew the entire internet to basically hate them. But Collective Shout previously had tried to – they've had a bunch – the founder specifically, Melinda Tankard-Reist, has had a bunch of campaigns against various things in Australia. One of the first things that they were really successful for was the 2006 game Rapelay, which was one of the biggest Japanese media controversies of all time, that basically maybe not started but definitely like boosted the conversation of – oh, Japan is just, you know, facilitating like rape games and horrible media. We need to shut them down.
I mean, this could go all the way back to things like Orotsuku Doji and in the UK creating like a weird moral panic around that as well.
Yeah. So Collective Shout's been since the mid-2000s, they've been broadly like campaigning against this sort of stuff. But their campaigns are all over the place. They've tried to ban Tyler, the Creator, from entering Australia because of his lyrics.
Yeah.
They've tried to take down a bunch of different like movies and games. They tried to boycott 50 Shades of Grey, for example, even though that's like a theatrical movie that's obviously not very compliant with most countries' rules and regulations. But they're like, no, it's just about sex, so it's too much. But the two main ones.
I'm going to say that I think they successfully got, what was it, like GTA pulled from the shelves of Kmart and some other major store in Australia.
So there are two video game related ones that were big was that they tried to essentially get GTA banned in Australia when it came out. And I think their initial campaign was against Target, and I believe Target did pull it, and so did Kmart, like a couple pulled it. But it was still broadly legal to get in Australia for a while after that. Same with the Tyler Creator thing. Tyler, the Creator, thought that he was banned from Australia, and then like news articles had to be like, no, he actually isn't. They didn't succeed. He just like saw the campaign against him and was like, oh, I guess I'm not allowed here. But the other game that they tried to take down was Detroit Become Human, because in the game, it's obviously a very sort of dark, serious commentary on, you know, society.
Yes, of course.
David Cage, being the genius that he is, put the androids in the back of the bus and then said this game is not an allegory for race at all. But they tried to get that game banned because it depicts basically an abusive dad character who like abuses this female android that he hires and also his daughter. And is obviously the villain in the game. Like, the game is straight up like, kill this guy, he's evil. But just because they depicted it, Collective Shout tried to get it banned in Australia. Because they just don't want any sort of sexual, nasty depictions, even if it's a fictional game that's saying that this is wrong.
Well, you say that, but then they go to bat for fucking cuties. And it's like,
that's the weird one. I have no idea what that was about. Because
because they're trying to make the case of like, oh, this is like condemning stuff, and it's like,
yeah,
okay, so now that's it's fine.
Yeah, well, so like Melinda Tankard Rice is, if you even read articles written about her that are both positive and negative, like I've read some of the articles that are written by like people in her corner who are like, check out this person, and even they're like, she's a religious conservative, but says that they're a feminist. And that they're a pro-life feminist specifically. That's their like platform. But largely because they've advertised Collective Shout as a like feminist sort of like seemingly progressive movement until you actually look into some of their values.
Don't ask her opinions on trans women.
Don't ask their opinions on trans women. Don't ask their opinions on abortion or anything like that. But I think because they advertise themselves as progressive, they've like, one, it's caused obviously the whole right to basically hate them and think that like, oh, they're part of this, you know, broader progressive movement, even though actual progressives are like, we don't have anything to do with them, they're psychos, like they're not one of us. But I think the cuties thing might have been, my speculation would be that they were essentially just taking a contrarian stance on it because cuties was like broadly hated by conservatives. So they might have literally just been like, oh, this one's fine because the people we don't like it or something like that. Because other than that, I'd have no idea why they would go to bat for that movie. It's very strange.
I have no idea either. Yeah. In the context of literally everything else that they advocate for. And it's worth mentioning, it's like people on the right are being like, oh, these woke feminists and stuff. But the FOSTA SESTA Act was signed into law by Donald Trump during his first term. So it's like,
Proposed by a Republican as well. Yep.
Yeah. This is kind of on you all as well.
And that's sort of been the interesting thing about this is the weird, obvious cultural shift that's happened because now online, a lot of people on the right or conservative people are largely the freedom of expression defenders in a lot of ways, or at least they've advertised themselves as such.
In a lot of ways, but I've also noticed a more like that kind of like vocal contingency of the right that is very pro censorship, like coming more back into vogue.
Yeah.
That kind of like that the pendulum is now swinging back to the late 2000s, early 20s. We're back in the Obama years, baby. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. And so the interesting thing has been seeing the sort of like pro freedom of expression people who, you know, self-describe themselves as being on the right. And then some of the pro freedom of expression people who describe themselves as being on the left. And then like the sort of how both of them almost feel ostracized right now because of the large cultural shift. Because on the right, you have a lot of people who are genuinely like religious conservative, anti-pornography, anti-obscenity. And on the left, there's this weird almost like anti-sex culture that's formed where it's the whole, you know, you're a gooner, you're a coomer, you're a loser if you like anime. And
you're a kid, you're a squid.
Yeah, you're a kid now, you're a squid now. You're watching that Diddy anime. But it's very strange because right now it doesn't feel like there's any sort of like large political group that's just advertising like we're pro freedom of expression. So the groups right now that are, because right now, if you look online and just search up like Visa, MasterCard, any of these groups or anything, there's a massive movement to try and shut down Collective Shout, to try and pressure Visa and MasterCard to like reverse their policies. A bunch of people are like calling them directly to try and like flood their lines and protest. But it's very strange because it's this large united front that is also composed of a bunch of people who theoretically on every other issue hate each other. So it's this.
It's literally like that stone toss tug of war comic. It's like, wait a minute.
So it's become a very strange like political movement because people obviously immediately tried to politicize it. As soon as this Collective Shout group was found, they were immediately deemed like the woke left. And then as soon as the actual woke left heard about them, they went, no, wait a minute. We disagree with them on basically everything. They seem to just be advertising themselves as such, like pretty falsely. So now it's like it's just a very strange thing where there's so many accounts that I'll see who are posting something where I'm like, yeah, I really like that. And then I'm like, oh, this is someone who's publicly like hated my channel before or someone who I've previously hated their content before. And then groups who are just fighting on both sides, again, just saying like, I hate this person, I hate this person, but I agree with them about this whole Visa MasterCard thing. So I don't know how that's going to resolve itself, but it has been very interesting to see.
There are good people on both sides.
Yeah.
What is this, fucking Star Wars? Heroes on both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always kind of viewed anytime someone really talks about and is like, I'm very pro freedom of speech, especially if they're like a politician, I'm always just like, no, you're not. I absolutely know you're not. You're saying that you're pro freedom of speech and you're anti-cancel culture because you specifically have opinions that you do not want to have like any consequences for or accountability because you have no integrity in what you believe and you don't want to have to deal with the baggage that comes with your beliefs. So you just want to like, it's like, I'm imagining like Jesus on the cross being crucified, being like, this is, I guess the Romans are canceling me.
Yeah. Well, and it's both sides, especially when you actually look at the politicians and the people who have like platforms about this. Obviously, censorship for a lot of people is just, well, I don't want anything that I like censored, but I'm okay censoring all the stuff that I don't like. You know,
exactly.
I'm fine if the enemy is censored, but no, but you know, rules for thee, not for me. Oh, wait, just by applying the rules in general, we've allowed them to censor everything.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's literally like what's happening. Like, there's someone getting,
there
was some post that's getting dunked on that I was like scrolled past or whatever that was like, oh, porn being banned from children is a good thing, actually. And they've been censoring Christians for fucking years now, whatever. And it's like, okay, but now you're advocating for the same shit like, that you're complaining so about. You're not advocating for.
We can now more robustly censor Christians and pornography. Hooray! One of the big ones I think people have like talked about in the context of the UK thing is like, yeah, obviously now if you don't have like an ID or a VPN at least, you can't access porn websites. But it's also like, this also applies if you're like, now you're just not going to hear shit about like going on in Gaza or whatever, because it's so fucking horrific. It's like, yeah, now you need to have like your government ID or whatever the fuck put in if you want to hear about the atrocities being committed around the world as well. So it's not just like, oh, we don't want people pleasuring themselves to things that we consider prurient. It's we do not want people to know about bad things happening in the world at all, so they remain nice and complacent and don't get, you know, too uppity or anything like that, act out of order.
Well, here's the crazy part is that, so this law was, I believe from what I've looked up, and I only, because my video, obviously, I did a bunch of research into the payment processors, but just before this, I tried to find out more about the UK thing. It was initially passed, mm-hmm. It seems like in 2023, the broad act was, however, they didn't say that they had the like technology to enforce this, blocking of the internet online. So they held mm-hmm. off on what recently happened, which is that they implemented this large block online that essentially just says, yeah, if you're under 18, you need to submit like ID or like have us scan your face in order to access these websites, which they've also enforced on the websites. Like it's the website's responsibility to ID check everyone and hold all of that information, which goes
and
back
hold
to
that information.
This random, you know, app getting hacked and all of people's, you know, public information being leaked is like, yeah, that's what happens when you just give it up to the website, because not everyone has like the scrutiny to be able to like protect your information if you're just uploading your ID to the website. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. It's literally just going to be a matter of time before there's a massive and catastrophic information breach like we've already fucking seen with T.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is that in the UK, as far as I'm aware, the voting age is 16. So you can vote.
Yeah, I think they lowered that recently.
It might be lower, but I know for a fact that it is at least 16. Like it's under 18, which is crazy to me because the act says that anything that is considered basically just generally obscene is blocked from someone who's under 18. So that includes mm-hmm. pornography, but also if you go on Twitter, any Twitter post that is marked as like adult content, which they'll do for porn, but also violence, extremism, anything like that, anything that gets blocked adult, someone under 18 can't see. So you've essentially created this group of people who are able to vote, but for the next 2 years or so cannot see any extreme political action happening online. They can't see at all the Palestine genocide happening right now. They have no idea, because as soon as they try to watch a video about it, it's blocked for them. They can't watch it.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, obviously everyone immediately is saying, oh, just use a VPN, just get around it, just scan Norman Reedus's face, which people have been doing in order to get around it. But the intent of the act, if you're to take it at face value, where, you know, the government obviously does not want people to use VPNs, is we're going to create this generation of people who can vote and influence politics, but don't know what's happening in politics because we're blocking it from them, which seems like just a direct attempt to control the population, essentially, because how is anyone ever going to say that, like, oh, this horrible, violent act was wrong if they didn't even know it happened because it was blocked for them? But then you're asking them to vote on it. Like, that seems incredibly shady.
It seems to be now it's reaching things like Wikipedia, where this Online Safety Act may have to lead Wikipedia to limit like people in the UK. It's basically the UK, and if other countries follow suit with similar things, we're more or less just going to end up recreating like the Chinese Great Firewall, essentially. And it's like, is that what we want? I mean, it's obviously what some people want, even if they don't want to like overtly say it.
What the government wants.
Yeah. Clearly. But yeah,
they want that shit for years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been this act passed a while ago and had been part of another act, I think, from like 2017 that they're trying to like. All of it is usually that they tried to implement some anti-obscenity law that then got repealed. So now this act is repealing the thing that repealed that. Like, that's kind of how it all works. It's all been brewing for a while. And it's essentially just trying to create like this weird nanny state in the UK where we can directly control what kids watch, which is, even if it's anti-porn, is bad. But the fact that it is broad reaching and is outside of that, and also is then really shittily enforced by these websites makes it so much worse because it's not perfect.
It's like, I remember being a kid on the internet, and if there was a website that I could not get access to, it was not particularly difficult to find a way to get access to that, whatever I was looking for anyway. And it seems very naive to think that this will more or less do anything other than get people to comply and censor easily accessible things, like resources of information, pornographic or not, likely not, just from like a general populace, and still make it harder to find at the end of the day.
Well, and the flip side
harder
of that,
to find, but not impossible.
The flip side of that is that it's the same with, so the thing that kicked off the Visa MasterCard situation was suing Pornhub. And this, there was an article written by someone from the New York Times about Pornhub that sort of like kickstarted the whole thing, where they talked about all of the possible child porn that could be on the website, and all of these things. And it got Pornhub to delete a bunch of videos and then require that everyone uploading videos to Pornhub like verified themselves, basically by doing the thing that this UK thing is now doing, where if you wanted to upload a video to Pornhub, you had to prove that you were 18 by like uploading your ID or whatever.
Yeah. Which by the way, I've been on Pornhub before. I've seen videos that I've look at them and I go, that's extremely sus. And I'm literally doing the fucking Dokes thing of like, I can't prove it, but this has the vibe of revenge porn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to some other video.
Well, and
where it looks like this person is consenting.
So the thing about that, though, is that Pornhub deletes all of these videos that they deem are, well, they basically delete anything that's unverified, just throw out the baby with the bathwater. But by doing it's like with the Pornhub thing where Visa, MasterCard pressure them to delete videos. And now with the UK thing where they're just physically blocking Pornhub at all from people who are under 18, the people who then want to watch pornography, which again is a lot of people who are under 18, like you're not going to stop them from having that desire, which we know is a thing because you're blocking it from them. Like you understand that they want to do this. So by blocking it or by getting Pornhub or whatever these websites, you know, whichever ones they are to delete these things, someone who looks up porn now does not have Pornhub as their first result. This website, which has now implemented these systems to prevent child pornography and all of these things from happening. You know, the systems may not be perfect. Things may slip through, but they've implemented like very robust systems now. OnlyFans got criticized after Pornhub. It was the next sort of target. And it has like AI scanning, ID verification. A lot of people who create things on OnlyFans complain about how hard it is to get verified on the platform because they care so much about like making sure that everyone there is, you know, above the line.
Everything's above board.
So if some kid wants to access pornography, when they look up pornography and then they try to find it, they're either going to just bypass the law completely and make it null by using a VPN, or instead of getting shown OnlyFans and all of these places that do have protections, they're going to go to a website that is just straight up illegal because you've enforced it. The UK law specifically has put the mandate on the websites. Pornhub is the one that has to check your ID. If a website is already an illegal porn website, they're not going to care about that, about putting up that ID verification. They're not going to care about, a lawsuit from Visa and PayPal because they're taking like weird crypto donations. So the kid then looks up porn.
They already have like pirated material or worse on their website.
Yeah. So the kid looks up porn and instead of getting these like regulated controlled websites that can like mandate that, you know, everything's above the line, they're now just getting the entire cesspool, right? Which might actually contain things that are significantly worse.
They're going to be joining weird Telegram channels where other people, adults in there, are going to be sending them links to websites and bad things happening in there. And it's like, it's that general problem with abstinence in general, with these policies, where if you don't educate kids on how to have a healthy relationship with these things, it will invariably produce bad results. This is how we get things like, I mean, literally anything you could think of in terms of like, we're just not going to teach kids how to use a condom. So they're just going to be having unprotected sex instead, because it's not like we can just tell kids that, you know, don't have sex. They're going to be doing it anyway. And rather than ensure that they, or at least give them the means to be able to do these things in a way that is healthier and safer for them, They're just going to be doing it under the table now, figuratively speaking. And it just creates a more dangerous situation overall.
Yeah. And the obvious intent of both the anti-pornography groups and I guess now the UK government at large is, well, we want to protect, you know, these kids. We want to stop them. But like, it's kind of the problem that you're not ever going to just completely eradicate someone's ability to watch porn online unless you are.
Yeah.
You'd have to go through so many steps to actually make it like foolproof. You'd have to basically just whitelist websites instead of blacklisting them, where it's like you can just go on five websites in the internet and nothing else. And then you'd have to just like completely lock down every piece of equipment that they have. And it's like the steps that you'd have to go through in order to actually make this effective is basically just locking someone from the internet completely.
Like the most of the people who are in the position to be the most effective at in terms of like regulating what their child has access to online is not the government. It's fucking parents. But a lot of this just comes across as like, well, that's icky. And I don't like my kids that much. My kids took away my freedom and I kind of low key resent them. So I don't want to really do much as like a parent. So I'm going to have the government do it instead.
Yeah. And you could realistically just pass laws that are like, yeah, if a kid is accessing that, it's up to the parent or whatever. But a lot of this is that it is just them essentially saying that, yeah, I want the government to like parent my kids for me. Which leaving your trust in the government for something as specific as that is like insane because of course the government's not going to want them to know the things that the government doesn't like, which is like many things.
This is going, I mean, it's going to create scenarios where horrific abuse can take place either at the hands of government officials or like, what is to say that a pornographic website that is taking your ID and your face and now has access to your identity, it's going to like not do anything with that information. If there's like someone there who like is like has access to that information, like managing these websites, because if we're already of the opinion that the porn industry is already a hotbed of unscrupulous behavior, what then is to stop someone from being blackmailed because now their porn preferences are fucking directly attached to their like name and face, essentially. Like what protections are there then from someone from being essentially abused as a result of this?
Yeah, it's
if at all,
it's well, and the specific way that I think it works is I know that the UK government has like some sort of like third party company that they've hired in order to like do the actual age verification process that they then mandate the websites to like comply with, essentially. So it's up to the website to say like, here, this random UK, you know, company that the government entrusts, like come in and verify all of our users for us. It does just seem weird that like, yeah, the end result of this is just removing anonymity on the internet, just completely removing any sort of privacy on the internet, and then giving all of that information to people who already have pretty much said that they want to like control what people think, control what people do. It's like you think this through for more than a second and it just immediately comes across as a dystopian novel. Like there's no, it's not even like, oh, this is like 1984. It's like, this is 1984. It's literally
down to like the nomenclature where it's like, what are you against online safety? If not, why are you against the Online Safety Act? It's like, what are you against? Why are you against the Ministry of Peace? Do you hate peace?
Yeah. And broadly, it's a larger conversation has sort of come up just around censorship in general, because I think a lot of people are now realizing, and what we talked about before with that people on both sides basically want to censor the other side and have their side be fine. But I think a lot of people are now realizing that like censorship in general, and this is why freedom of expression and freedom of speech are important, is that as soon as you infringe on it at all, there's nothing stopping you from infringing on all of it.
Yeah, it becomes, as soon as you get that foot in the door, it's like now you can just use it carte blanche, basically. What's the phrase that's being passed around the line right now? It's like censorship is a shotgun, not a scalpel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've already, every website now already has this system in place that says that we can block what people see and require them to verify their age. So like the hard part's already done. The easy part is then going, okay, block anything queer. Okay, block anything anti-government, anything that criticizes
anything
the UK government.
Related to Israel and Gaza, anything just remotely critical. Here we go. We can't release the Epstein files because then they'll go online and a kid could see them.
That was a legitimate argument I saw someone post on Twitter.
Like in terms of like why they shouldn't allow
like an actual politician, I think legitimately said like, why would you release the Epstein files? Like that's child porn. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Like what do you, why do you so badly want to see child porn? It's like, that's the angle you're going with now. Okay. Really?
You ran out of arguments. Look, guys, aliens are real. Don't look.
I mean, that is inevitably going to be, if things continue on the current trend that they are, the outcome of all of this. I think we were literally earlier this year were about to just completely ban TikTok from the United States.
Because
didn't we do that for like a brief period and then it came back?
I think it was a single day. It might have been in less than a day.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah,
I don't even think it necessarily was like it was banned. I think that it was one of those things where it's like inevitable. They took it from the store and everything. And they're like, oh, it's going to be banned or whatever. And then Trump was like, maybe not.
I know this was my idea originally. And then Biden was fucking stupid enough to go through with it anyway. But I'm going to allow TikTok again now because then that'll make me look good.
Yeah. Literally the like, dumbest.
And then it fucking worked.
The
and I'm like,
dumbest move
wow.
of all time.
Yeah, fucking Jesus Christ.
It's literally the thing, I forget the name of the wrestler in the WWE, but where he would hand the other guy a steel chair while the ref's back was turned, and then he'd lie down on the ground, and the other guy would get disqualified for hitting him with a steel chair. That's literally what he did.
Well, it's not even like, government's regulating what their own people are allowed to have. It's government's regulating what people in other countries are allowed to have access to. Because now what we're seeing is things like with payment processors, a sort of like imperialism going on where these payment processors that are American are then regulating things that are happening in Japan as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah, it's something.
And it's like, yeah, I don't.
It's
why should people in Japan be beholden to policies that are, passed in America? That makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. Something that I initially wanted to include explicitly in the video, but it was part of another segment that I cut, was that Visa and MasterCard, who are the two companies right now who are mostly pressured by these groups under essentially threat of being sued by being connected to porn companies. They have a duopoly just on payment online.
Yeah. On the concept of transactions.
I put up statistics in the video that I actually found, which was that according to a UK study, I think it was that like 2/3 of all payments are done by e-payment solutions like PayPal or by credit cards. And in the US, it's like around half of all payments are done through e-payment credit card. And when you go to online, it jumps up to like 70% of them. And the other 30% is also largely debit cards, which Visa still has like a control over. So the majority of online payments are conducted through these industries, which are largely just controlled by like three companies. I think 71% of people that use e-payment solutions use PayPal. And with credit cards in particular, Visa, MasterCard, and the Chinese company UnionPay own 97% of all credit card transactions worldwide. And UnionPay is China only. So in the US, just Visa, MasterCard, and like American Express have like 97% of it.
Yeah.
So it's.
And then people say like, oh, crypto and stuff. And it's like the last 5 years, crypto has completely fucking like obliterated its public perception. It's like been like the biggest PR disaster of all time.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is not like, because I've seen also people say that like, oh, you just need to, someone needs to create a new payment processor that's just okay with like pornography and stuff. And it's like,
guys, I'm going to start my own oil company.
Yeah. Well, one, it's that. And two, it's also just that even if instead of, I don't know, three or four companies, it was like a couple dozen, the fact that they do just have broad ability to just disconnect you from just deny you service for like any reason whatsoever.
Debanked even.
Yeah. Banks do that. They all have they've claimed risk for pornography. That's always the big thing, is that, oh, there's a lot of chargebacks, so it's risky, so we're just going to drop you entirely. But that's always like a retroactive justification. It's not like, oh, Pornhub generated this many chargebacks, we're going to drop them. It's like, oh, we're going to drop them. Eh, it was because they were risky. And so a lot of it just comes down to the fact, for the payment processor thing, that, yeah, these companies, the main ones, Visa, MasterCard, are American, so they comply to U.S. law, and they're also scared of U.S. prosecution and laws and all of these things. But then because they're conducting transactions for the entire world, everyone has to obey to those rules. Steam cannot get around the rule set by saying, like, oh, if you're outside of the U.S., these games are available, because it's like Visa and MasterCard controls it everywhere. And that's sort of the problem there. And people pointed out that Japan, when some websites went down, because there's this big, like, I list them out in my video, but there's this big, gigantic list of websites and companies that got taken down by Visa, MasterCard, where either Visa, MasterCard had them enforce new policies, or the companies just stopped accepting Visa, MasterCard because they didn't want to accept the policies. And people were pointing out that Japan had at least some other payment processors, which allowed them to, like, tank the hit, essentially, where if they were a big enough company, they could still survive. The one that I talk about is Manga Library Z, which was this very small, like, out-of-print manga shop, just shut down completely because they couldn't make enough money. But other places, like DL Site, I think, were like, okay, we're not going to accept Visa, MasterCard. In Japan, they have, like, JCB and Line. There's a whole thing in Japan where you can, like, add things to your cart in certain online stores and then take it to your local konbini, and then, like, they'll scan a barcode and you can pay for it there with cash. Like, they have a couple more robust systems that, like, other places don't have. But JCB was also on the list of companies that Collective Show targeted, and they have full, I assume in Japan as well, full authority to just deny people. So it's like, that's sort of always been the problem there, is that it's, this strict enforcement. And with the UK thing, it's like people, you are getting all of these companies that are, like, operating internationally in all of these places and just saying, like, this entire country is just like this isolated North Korea. Like, don't, you can't ever access it.
Well, it's like, what would, I mean, we've kind of already seen this with the Russia's invasion of Ukraine, where, like, all of these companies pulled out basically doing any kind of business in Russia, because I guess the idea was, oh, we're going to cripple their economy, even though that doesn't really seem to have worked, given that been how many years the war is still going.
There's a hilarious interview with Al Kelly, the CEO of Visa, or he was at the time, with someone, I think it was the New York Times or someone, where they basically said that, like, oh, you dropped Pornhub recently. What was that about? And he's like, oh, we never want to be the arbiters of morality or anything like that. We did it purely because they were, you know, hosting illegal content. And then the interviewer just goes, but you are the arbiters of morality, though. You dropped Russia. And he goes, ah, there's, like, a bunch of other reasons that we did that. It's like, okay.
Well, it's like, it's like, at what point then does it just become, like, there's already been, like, a concern in the U.S. in terms of, like, these, like, minor, like you know, circuit judges being able to halt any kind of policy or law on, like, a national level, and, like, concerns around that. And it's like, can that then just be extended through these payment processors and these other American platforms that are used around the world to then just be like, oh, a judge has ordered that it is now illegal for any company, specifically payment processors, to do any business in Denmark until Denmark sells the United States Greenland. And it's, and now they have to comply with that, and we've just now completely fucking crippled Denmark's economy. Like, that's, like, that's an absurd concept, but it's like, that's kind of what's going on. That's, like, the level of like insane overreach that we're starting to see with this stuff.
Well, and broadly, obviously, people talked about that with the tariff situation, where it's like, the just one guy could be like, yeah, fuck this country, we're going to cripple them because we're going to increase tariffs by 300% because I said so. I think a lot of people are realizing just how little protections there are against, like, broad overreach. And it's something that's been building for decades. Like, Visa, MasterCard, all of these companies have, like, built up their monopolies. And you see this with, like, tech companies as well, where, like, people talk a lot, even now with the broad censorship or whatever, they go like, oh, people are just always going to find a way around this. And it's like, it's getting much harder to, because fewer and fewer websites are now conglomerating all of the power, right? Like you look at like a social media
specifically site, in the United States,
like a social media site, if you're someone who has like views that say a tech CEO doesn't like, how are you going to express those views if you're banned from like TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube? It's like you're just silenced at that point. You have no other platforms. It really is just like,
and people always say, well, it's like, well, this is like, well, should far right neo-Nazis be allowed to do that? And it's like, yeah, because then the alternative is fucking no one is going to be allowed to do any of this.
Yeah. So I think that's broadly why, like, I'm an advocate of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, just because, like, it's any overstep immediately just opens the floodgates. And with any of these companies, like, the U.S. is at least in a good enough position where they have freedom of speech laws that have largely been, you know, uncontested for like the longest time. A lot of like I live in Canada. We don't really, we have freedom of expression, but there are exceptions to it that people have made over the years.
It's like, it's very rare for it to be completely codified into like the Constitution, like in the US, where that's like insanely robust as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So
it ends up being this, like the US is in the best situation, but the US also has then enacted these gigantic monopolies because, you know, along with having freedom of expression is freedom to, you know, do whatever you want as long as the market dictates, basically. And so like these gigantic monopolies have formed, which then can just completely circumvent freedom of expression laws by denying anyone free speech that they want. Instead, by just saying, yeah, we're Facebook, we're going to we have the right to delete you for any reason. Visa has the right to deny you service for any reason.
Yeah. So it's like, at what point then, like, if you say you're a politician and you're trying to then like take action, do some sort of like breakup of like Visa or MasterCard, like, you know, break up these monopolies because they have too much control, like centralized, and you're trying to do this. And then they're just like, all right, well, we're just going to like ban you from using our services as well as a result. And it's like, that kind of would seem to then disincentivize doing anything that would harm these companies as well, if they can just in retaliation completely fuck you over and not even have to give the remotest justification as to why.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the big thing, is that there's no justification, or there is, but it's always, oh, it's risky. It's, you know, we found that they were violating some random policy we had. Those are a lot
they
of
they can concoct a reason. Yeah,
there's a bill that got proposed in the U.S. in February of this year called the Fair Access to Banking Act, which people have hyped up because on paper it says that like the government can never, or not government, but the payment processors can never restrict you for essentially any reason other than if you've done something illegal. And people were hyping this up. But then if you actually read through the act, one, it was proposed by Republican senators in order to protect, quote unquote, politically unpopular persons. And they specifically said that, like, oh, we want to protect like coal plants and stuff like that, that we've tried to get through.
And again, that's literally like the thing where it's like, I don't fucking trust any of these people when it comes to freedom of speech or expression in any capacity.
Yeah. Well, and then also that that banking act, I specifically bring up in my video that I'm like, yeah, it's essentially proposed to like protect coal plants and stuff, which is a little shady. I would be more fine with it if the act was just broadly, you cannot financially discriminate at all. It's like, okay, like, we're not going to financially discriminate against the adult industry, but also like this will allow coal plants and stuff to be built. It's like, okay, that's like, as long as it's for like the freedom of being able to have financial access,
it cuts both ways.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But the wording of the act is like specifically about politically unpopular persons. It doesn't mention the adult industry, all that. It's not even like broad enough that you could apply it to every industry. And specifically, the act still says that payment processors can be allowed to deny service based on like impartial risk-based criteria. It's like, okay, so you're still allowing them to deny whoever they want as long as they say that it was too risky. Like, that's still not solving it.
It's literally like, I support freedom of speech unless it's like a drag queen talking to children at a local library. That's too far. And it's like, what? So you don't support freedom of speech? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So like that's been a huge thing that a lot of people online are kind of trying to come to terms with where they stand on like freedom of speech laws. And I guess to wrap this to like anime and stuff, that's largely been an argument for like a long time around anime, because anime, obviously, you have the big things like the Dragon Ball Z's and all of these popular shows that have broken to the mainstream. But with that comes weird lolly hentai and like other things that people have tried to say is obscene and therefore should be banned. Like Texas recently had the whole thing around like banning thing that would have banned a lot of anime. I think the UN right now has a bill that's talking about like any character that we think is like looks young is like gets banned and whatnot. And it's like there are laws that are trying
like
to
Canada.
Well, Canada child porn is not banned because of like actual harm to real persons. It's banned under obscenity laws. So anything that is deemed obscene is banned, which then includes fictional anything, like just anything that we're like, that's gross, basically. So that's how they got
was
around
Canada
it.
The place that had like the case with like Lisa Simpson or whatever? Or I think of something else.
It might have been somewhere else. The only Canada lolly related thing that I saw was just someone who came over the border with like 100 figurines, which I'm like, okay, well,
yeah.
Once they enacted the law, that's kind of on you, bud, because that's pretty. How are they not going to find that out?
I mean it's fucking stupid anyway, but
it's a stupid law anyway, but as soon as the law is in place, it's kind of on you to go across the border with like 100 figurines.
Yeah,
you know, maybe find some other way to get that through. That's largely what people have within the anime community at least brought up, is this sort of where do you draw the line sort of thing. Because a lot of people detest lolicon, detest all of these gross things, detest, you know, incest themes and you know, goblin slayer having rape and all of these things. But it's like soon as you implement any sort of law to like deny those, that law can then be expanded to deny essentially all of anime. Because like there's no concrete like these anime are good objectively, these anime are bad because they have like good or bad characteristics. It's just obscenity. It's just censorship. It's just saying like, you can make this as long as it's cool. And it's like, okay, well, the list of cool things is going to keep narrowing down probably.
It's like you say like, oh, we need to ban any depictions or descriptions of rape or child grooming in media. And it's like, okay.
Game of Thrones is illegal now, also, I guess. Cool.
Yeah. It's like, now we're just also criminalizing things, resources for children who may suspect that they are in danger and being groomed, or potentially worse. And it's like, they're trying to like figure out something to help them understand this. And now that's illegal now, because ignorance is bliss. And
listen, I am all in favor of Stephen King getting arrested for that underage gang banging it. All right.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he had that tweet. I think everyone's giving the side eye to Stephen King now.
Yeah, he posted the tweet that's like, the Epstein list isn't real. And it's like, why would you say that?
Why did he do that?
Yeah, no one was accusing you of being on it. So then to come out and just defend it randomly is even weirder. It's that insane. You did that unprompted.
Yeah. Like, what a weird self-incrimination. In a way, anime and manga, or just like Japanese media like that, has kind of been the main battleground in a lot of ways, because before Steam, before Itch.io, before all of this, it was platforms like Pixiv, DMM, DL Site, Manga Library Z, things like that. So all these things have already just been going on in the background, and there's been a growing push in Japan to be like, we should not be allow ourselves to just kind of be pushed around by these American companies and tell us what we as Japanese people should and should not be allowed to consume in the privacy of our own homes. And obviously that's then informing how American fans as a result are then interacting with this content as well. And it's just, it's always been like, you always hear like about it, and it'll like occasionally come up. You'll get like a Chibi Reviews video or Hirohei Nakasaki, whatever the fuck, Reb Says Desu, talking about it, but it will never really catch on all that much. And then it's not until it hits like a major company in America like Steam, or I mean, it's not like Itch.io is a massive company, but it was that was kind of like, oh, fuck.
Well, and part of it was that they were small enough that they could get bullied into essentially just delisting all of their not safe for work games. Like, the fact that they were small was almost worse because Steam at least could, like, tank the hit more and just take down a couple of the weirder games. But Itch.io is like, okay, we have to manually review everything on the platform now.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's just become much more of a thing. And it's like, in a lot of ways, I don't want to defend a company like Pornhub because they have been tied to some pretty unpleasant things.
The actual lawsuits against them are bad. And like all of the people obviously that got abused that were then uploaded to the site, it's like, that's kind of fucked up. But
yeah.
And it's the same with like, it goes back to the whole thing of like this sort of sliding scale, right? Where initially people just say like, I think lolicon weird hentai is bad. And everyone goes, yeah, I can agree with that. That's pretty fucked up. And it's like, okay, so we can all agree to ban this. It's like, okay, cool. All right, now I think that any depiction of a character who is not explicitly stated to be 18 is bad. And it's like, okay, almost every anime gets deleted at that point. You've deleted every, like, slice of life show ever and just everything where they're in high school. And that's when people start to have pushback. And even then, it's like, oh, just sexual depictions of them. And you have a lot of people online now who are like, it's very funny to see someone post something on like Twitter or something where it's like, I really like this character. And it's someone dressed in like a sexy outfit. And then someone in the comments is like, I need to Wikipedia search what their age is to make sure that it's like, okay, they're so like self-scared about making sure that someone's like exactly 18 years old on, you know, all of these things that they like.
Well, again, it's like anything that remotely deviates outside, like deviates in any capacity from like hetero, like sexual norms, is then all also just implicitly seen as sexual, where it's like, all right, now we've banned the summer Hikaru died because that's like got like a weird chest thing. It's like that's too far. Nope, can't allow that. And it's like, oh
yeah.
Well, they are actively like pushing to ban what Eromanga Sensei, Loveru, Miss Kobayashi, and it's just like, if it were pornographic, I would understand it more than just being eroticism, right? It's just like, what?
Eroticism in a show that's essentially like PG-13.
Yeah.
And it's like,
where does this end exactly?
Yeah, well, because again, they can say that like, oh, we just hate lolicons and we just hate all this weird stuff. And that's how most people agree with them. But it's like, are they going to stop with the lolicon thing? Is that like, oh, we've banned lolicon and now we're never going to go further than this ever again? We're totally not going to come after like mainstream popular shows because they also can be tied to, oh, well, these two characters kiss in this romance movie, but they're high schoolers. It's a high school that's underage. Ban them. You know,
we can't have anything that depicts violence against children.
Yep, ban every show.
It's like, well, it's like, you know what? Yeah, violence against children is bad. Okay, so we're banning My Hero Academia, Naruto, basically any fucking shonen action manga ever.
Yep, and to wrap back around, because you initially asked me like, oh, what are the policies that like Visa and MasterCard are changing? Like, what did they enforce on these websites? And Itch.io recently put out their list of. They literally say it's a non-exhaustive list of prohibited themes present in card processing networks. And this is also the same thing that we can compare this to the exact same policies that they've enforced on a lot of the websites that they previously took down. But it includes non-consensual content. And it's like, okay, that's pretty bad. Underage or barely legal themes. Okay, you'll probably get a lot of people on your side if you say that that's bad, obviously. Incest, and it's like, okay, that's like bad in real life. Yeah, okay. Bestiality or animal related. And it's like, oh, furries. Okay. And it's literally, they say any works containing these topics. So all furries are banned. And it's like, furries aren't illegal, right? Bestiality is illegal in real life, obviously. Furries are fine, even if it's a G-rated drawing of just a dude who's a wolf. Get rid of it. He's related enough to an animal. And it's like, that's the sliding scale there. One of the really funny ones people pointed out is fetish involving bodily waste, because even in real life, that is not illegal and hasn't. It's just really gross and no one likes it. But it's like that's never been an illegal thing that you could actually sue someone over doing. It's just really gross. And it kind of is very telling towards the mindset here that like none of this is like, you know, and what I talk about in my video, Visa and MasterCard might be genuinely scared of lawsuits brought against them for like these sex trafficking related things, which even in this Itch.io list, they do include sex trafficking implications as their list of like any work covering these topics, which one is bad because obviously a lot of things that depict sex trafficking depict like the horrors of it to warn people that it's a bad thing. But no, you can't depict it at all. And also because
Law and Order SVU.
The broad nature of Sesta Fosta is that if you are supporting sex trafficking in any way, we can sue you. So my theory is that you could probably sue someone even for a fictional game that depicts sex trafficking by just saying that it's like promoting it. Like it's promoting sex trafficking as a thing. Thus, I can sue Itch.io. Thus, I can sue Visa. But even outside of that, the way that I end my video is essentially by talking about the fact that like Visa and MasterCard, any of these companies, without really anything forcing them to do so, will still ban so much pornography, adult sex workers, all of these things. They have for decades. The statistic that I show is that 63% of people working in the adult industry have been denied financial service, which is an insanely high number. And it's like this has been going on forever. And the idea has always been that we just don't want to we don't want anyone to create or enjoy or consume works that we don't like. We are being the moral arbiters here. And so the question of censorship and of all of these things, whether it's the UK law or it's the Visa MasterCard situation, is who do you want to be the moral arbiter of what you enjoy? Do you want it to be the UK government? Because I'm sure that they disagree with you on some things that they don't like that you might enjoy. Do you want it to be Visa and MasterCard? Because they probably don't like some things that you enjoy. And no matter what, as long as you are banning anything on this premise of we don't like it, they're just going to keep banning everything that they don't like, which is where it comes back down to like, if someone says that they're anti-sex trafficking or anti-lolicon or anti-whatever fucked up thing that you're like, I agree with them on that. It's like you do have to make sure that they're not enforcing something that is then I can ban whatever I don't like, because they probably don't like more things than just the ones that you agree with.
Yeah.
So it becomes very, again, the line in the sand is always just the censorship in general. The UK enabling something that just says that they can just completely restrict anyone from accessing the internet as long as it's something that they've deemed inappropriate. Like, that's the bad part here. You can agree that Lolicon is fucked up. I think Lolicon's fucked up a lot of the time. I scroll through my anime list and see some of the hentai titles on there that have like really absurd names. And I'm like, oh, that's a little suspect. Let me see.
Pedo in the title. What the fuck?
It'll be like a hentai that's titled like, I love violating girls. And you're like, oh, shit. Okay. Whoa.
Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't think anyone should have created that or anyone should have liked that. But I cannot in my mind think of any way that you could ban that is then going to not be applied to things that I do like down the line. Because it's just a slippery slope at that point. And that's where the problem is. And that's what I think a lot of people like haven't understood for a while, because for the longest time, I assume in the UK as well, but I know in like the US, North America, there's like largely been, for a while back, they debanked like firearm companies and like Republicans and stuff. And it's like, as someone who doesn't really like guns, that's pretty cool for me. You know, I don't have a problem with that or whatever,
but that again just like opens the floodgates for everything else as a result.
And a lot of people will see, or they'll see, you know, Lolicon get banned and a lot of these other things get banned, and you see that and you go, that getting banned is like cool, that's fine. And you get almost like desensitized to the idea of censorship, where it's like, well, I'm fine with the government banning things because everything they've banned so far has been chill. Like, they've been pretty responsible with this power. And it's like all they're doing is just accruing the power and then going, gay people are illegal now. And you go, wait, what?
Yeah.
It's like you gave them the power to do that. So now they're just going to do that.
And that's the whole strategy that they've always had, really. Where,
well, it literally goes all the way back to like post 9/11 with what was it, like Prism or whatever the fuck? I'm blanking now on the specific like government monitoring the internet act that came out.
Patriot Act.
Yes, thank you. Like it always goes back to that. It's like you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. Which
they have this like tribalist element where like you then get people to root against their own self-interest by compromising on that interest for the sake of getting a win over on the other side or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is why you get like people that are like, they've been persecuting my side for years. So it's about time they finally persecute it. And it's like, well, you are now just giving whatever resistance there might have been, you are now stifling it out in the name of, you know, fairness, I guess, that you think that you've been slighted. And so now you've been given an opportunity to like do the same to the other side that you think that has done to you or whatever.
Well, surely the pendulum will never swing back, you know?
Exactly.
This will surely never come back to bite me in the ass later down the line.
Yeah. Oh, I love sewing so much. Sewing so... Oh, fuck, I have to reap now. God, fuck. Yeah, it's always... Yeah. And that's the culture war thing, right? Is like...
Yeah,
I don't want to attribute it as like a psyop or something, but it has become very convenient as a tool in which one side will go, yeah, we hate Nazis. We're going to, you know, take down all of the fascists from Twitter and delete their accounts because they're Nazis and fascists or whatever. And it's, you know, people who aren't actually, like, obviously if they're actually doing something illegal or doing hate speech or whatever, something that you can prosecute them for, that's one thing. But it's like, oh, we're just going to take down Trump voters. And it's like, okay, well, like, I don't like Trump voters, so I guess that's fine. And then the other side gets power and they go, now we're going to deplatform all the trans people. And it's like, okay, well, that side is going like, yeah, well, I don't like trans people, so like deplatforming them's fine. And meanwhile, the government is just like, yeah, we have a law now that like we can take down whatever. But both sides are always just, we'll use it against the other guys. We'll use it against the other. We hate the other guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, you haven't realized that like, this is not the culture war is very superficial in this regard. Both of you really should just be against the tool that's being used to hurt both of you. You just keep grabbing. Yeah. It's like a sword in the middle of a battlefield and one side grabs it and kills the other. And the other side grabs it and kills the other. And they're going, fuck, so many people are dying because of this sword. It's the other guy's fault for wielding it. So now I'm going to wield it back at him. It's like, OK, maybe you should just like throw the sword away. So like, you know, maybe the other guys will exist and you don't like them. But like any way that you're going to take care of them is just going to take care of you right back.
Yeah, the instant it becomes inconvenient for whoever like comes into power next, it's going to be used against you as a result.
Yeah, which is part of that whole thing. I see so many people now hating on Visa, MasterCard, hating on Collective Shout, hating on all of these companies and all these people who are essentially it's a bipartisan issue at this point. I don't know. Aside from the people who are just strictly, I hate pornography of any kind and think that it should be deleted from the internet, which is a very small minority of people, the large bipartisan issue has become like, fuck all of these companies and governments censoring us. But then
they should not have the capacity to do this.
They shouldn't have the capacity to do this, but you also shouldn't fight for it purely on the side of like, oh, the government's woke, the government's fascist. Let's make this a culture war issue. So that we can just distract and keep fighting each other, right? Like, that's not... Yeah. I would love it if people could, you know, whether you're right-wing and you love lolicon hentai and that's your YouTube channel or whatever, or you're a progressive leftist person and you love queer trans characters and whatever, I'd love if both sides could be like, maybe we shouldn't have given these people the power to stop us. Maybe we should... I don't like lolicons. Yeah. I don't like trans people. Both sides shake hands and say, okay, what we really should say is I'm more fine with trans people existing than I am with the government like silencing everyone.
Yeah.
But no, it's very hard for people to do that because they go, well, I don't care what happens to my side as long as the trans people or the fascists burn.
Right. Which hopefully, I don't know, it's... I feel like it's kind of... The pendulum is now kind of swinging in terms of like just being generally against that kind of thing. That could also just be me completely misreading the situation, though, because it's really hard to gauge public opinion just from your Twitter timeline.
Well, and it's early on.
I don't know if I would... Yeah, I don't know if I would say the pendulum is swinging. There's a convergence in that people are, like, aligning themselves, but I don't know if that's necessarily meaning that the pendulum is like swinging as a whole.
Well, and it's really a matter of like we got here through the political action of a overall small set of people and who are just very dedicated to this and have been able to implement a strategy over years to get what they want. And if you know you want to kind of undo the fucking shitty situation that we're in now, it does take that level of dedication as well. And you know, hopefully that's something that can happen, but you know, it's also like I don't know, it's we've moved on. What's the new news thing today? Sydney Sweeney was in a racist denim jeans ad or something.
Yeah. Well, and there's a collective front, bad choice of words. There's a front that's been formed against this large group of people that like most hate. It time will tell whether the collective movement, I don't know any other synonym for collective, I can't think of any. But time will tell if that whole movement continues to be like a unified front or just breaks out into like infighting again before they even achieve anything. Because that's a very real possibility, is that they just go back to hating each other and then do nothing about the UK law or the Visa MasterCard situation or anything. Because they start to realize that, I hate the other side more than I hate these guys.
You can't sustain anything. And it definitely has nothing to do with the CIA interfering and making things worse. Definitely not.
No.
Definitely don't have a track record for that.
It's definitely not like a CSA, NSA operative just fucking typing on Twitter being like, here's why I think Collective Shout is part of the woke mob and we should actually be focusing on DEI initiatives and all of this. And then another, you know, CIA operative or a fucking KGB operative is like, actually, I think that we should go after the fascists in Sydney Sweeney. Should get rid of them. It's okay. Very, they might not even have to do anything. That's the funny part, right?
That's the funny thing, yeah.
These PSYOP groups that we know exist and have existed for a while. Like, people have pointed out, like, Russian interference in elections and stuff for, like, a pretty long time. And, like, even just internally, the CIA just having Twitter accounts that they post on. Even without their interference, people might just go back to hating each other anyways. And that's really sad.
You don't really need to do anything to AstroTurf nowadays.
That was a pretty big thing. I remember during the 2016 election, people were complaining on like poll. There were a lot of like Democrat accounts. Like there were people that were like working for Hillary's campaign, I think, that were posting like stuff on poll to try and like sway people. And it's like, yeah, this is not a secret.
These people
are there.
There was a power outage at like an Air Force base. And then at the same time, I forget which website it was, but like an entire like collective internet group just stopped posting for a day. Like, that's a weird coincidence. Okay.
That's a weird coincidence.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that we like know is happening. And it's like, but again, it's so easy to hate the other side. That's the problem here. Anti-censorship should be a bipartisan issue. That should not be controversial at all, because it takes what, like three brain cells to figure out, oh, if they can remove X, they can remove Y. But like, no one wants to think that far ahead because it's
fans have been declining.
People just need to stop equating the other in the field of political theater. Like, the other is like the fucking political elite that are like deciding all this shit for you.
Yeah.
That should be what the other is.
And there should be something that's really hard for, I think, everyone right now to realize, is that you kind of have to let some things that you don't like exist in order to make sure that like there is not a power that someone can wield that can remove everything. Right. Mm-hmm. Removing censorship does mean that like some of the things that you find gross are going to exist. And it's like, we have, like, my situation has always just been that I think if, like, there's not actual, like harm involved, like, I don't care. When it's like, oh, trans people posting whatever, it's like, okay, like, I've never understood the whole, like, just media representation of trans people or whatever. Because even if you are someone who thinks that, like, I don't know, trans people are transing your kids or whatever, it's like, surely a Disney movie is just a Disney movie, right? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And on the same side, it's like, yeah, okay, they're posting like really fucked up movies about like kids and shit. And it's like, okay, but there's like, do you think that video games cause violence? Like, I don't know. It's like people on both sides just kind of have to realize that there's gross media. There's a recent Simon Pegg did a Criterion Closet video and they talked about how, like, yeah, sometimes the point is to make you uncomfortable. Sometimes art should make you uncomfortable. And a lot of people in their disgust of art, in their attempt to try and make everything like as sanitary and not feel bad as possible, they've gone now too far to the point where we're like actively removing just several parts of the internet.
He's saying that about Blue Velvet, by the way. And it's like, and it's like, yeah, that depicts some horrific stuff. I guess that movie just shouldn't be allowed, though, because it depicts violence against women, and violence against women is wrong, and depicting things that are wrong is bad.
Didia Lynch.
The only thing that I think online I think should be censored wholly is like the idea that the sun is the center of the universe, not the earth.